We'll be singing the song that Rogers picked out for our invitation song. I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning. It's good to see my friend Kurt. It's been a long time, but we knew each other for a long time. We even went to the library to like a book reading club even before we were even in kindergarten. So we've known each other for a long time. And when we moved into Waynesville, we moved across the street from his parents. So it's a small world. But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to teach here again this morning. I'd like to thank everybody for sticking around after the first lesson. It's good to see that everybody stayed around after the sermon on teaching. But this next sermon today is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be on warnings. This is going to go down a little bit different path than the one we have this morning. This is going to be based on things that we have in the Bible that are set up as warnings. And we're going to kind of step through a few things here. And, you know, I was even thinking the word warning itself, it really just kind of draws you to it. It really grabs your attention. Even with the colors and the letters and stuff that is used in warnings, it really draws us to them. So I thought, while we're talking about warnings, you know, in our last lesson, I gave the definition of basically teaching out of the Bible. But this is actually a definition, of course, off the internet. So this is what Google told me that warning meant. It's a statement or event that indicates a possible or impeding danger, problem, or other unpleasant situation, or cautionary advice. When I was Googling warnings and things, I came across some pretty funny pictures. And I actually kind of wish I used a couple of them here. One of the pictures that I was thinking about that I saw was, there was a great big sign. It was an advertisement sign that they kind of sit on the side of the road. They're about the size of a car. And somebody wrote on the sign that the cop hides behind this sign. And the cop was sitting behind the sign. I was thinking that as a warning, you know, somebody had put that up on that sign to warn everybody that there was, the cop always hides behind the sign. And I was thinking, I can't think of anything better than cautionary advice saying, hey, you know, slow down, there's a cop behind this sign. So when we talk about signs, in warning signs and things like that, so we have our regular stop sign and our yield sign, and I call this the Amish sign. It warns us of things around us, things that we need to be warned of. You know, we have the slow-moving sign and when we need to stop and when we need to yield for oncoming traffic and things like that. So these are warnings that that we use every day in our lives to warn us about upcoming things. So to go along with that, we have a lot of warning labels on products. We probably see warning labels all the time. I know that Mike probably sees warning labels every day in his job. And, you know, every time you open up a computer, there's all these warnings about, you know, about how it can hold a current and all that kind of stuff, even though it's unplugged and all that kind of stuff. So let's talk about warning labels. I took a law class, and one of the things in the law class says that in order for the warning to be printed, it would have had to been repeated multiple times or multiple issues would have had to occur in order for it to be put on a warning label. So just kind of think of that. While these are some real warning labels, so just kind of think of some of these. So here's a, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that company of the iron, but this is an iron to iron clothes, and this is one of the warnings on it. It says, warning, never iron clothes on the body. So that's important. But I always think, you know, it had to have been done by several people in order for it to be a warning on there. So a hair dryer, you know, do not use while sleeping. It's an important warning. Rat poison, warning, will be found to cause cancer in laboratory mice. So, and then my favorite, a container of salt, warning, high in sodium. So I'm glad that they printed that warning on the salt to let us know that it basically is sodium. So these are some warnings I thought that were interesting, that people, they were warnings on the products. We think of warnings on our medicine. One of the warnings that I was going to put on here was on a skateboard. It says, it moves while in motion or something like that. It was just like, oh, thanks. It had wheels on it. And these are the kind of warnings that, you know, we have in our everyday lives. I mean, there seems to be warnings on everything. So with that in mind, we could talk about some Old Testament warnings. And we're going to go down through a few of these. And the purpose of some of these warnings that I have in here is that when God warned us about something, especially here in the Old Testament, it happened. You know, all of these were fulfilled. So when we talk about Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, they were warned not to eat of the tree of good and evil. So, you know, what happened when they ate upon that? Well, they were warned not to eat from it. So there's a warning, then it coming true. So Noah and the ark. Noah warned everybody that this flood was coming. You know, what happened? The flood came. Those people were warned. Sodom and Gomorrah. They had an opportunity. They were warned that it was going to be destroyed. Uzzah and the ark. They were told to carry it in a certain way. They put it on a wagon. It slipped. He went up to stop it. He instantly died. Because they were told to do things a certain way. King Nebuchadnezzar. I read this story again in Daniel 4 while I was researching this. And he was told in a dream that he needed to change. And, of course, Daniel foretold his dream. And he was told, you know, that he needed to follow God's word and everything. He was warned. Then, as the story goes, while he was walking around the kingdom of Babylon, he said, you know, this is the city, you know, I'm all great and powerful. And it said, while the words were still in his mouth, he was stricken and cursed to the fields to be as a beast. Wow. You know, what a warning. And then the effect of what happened when he didn't heed that warning. Moses and the Pharaoh. He gave him several warnings and all the plagues. So we see that there is warnings, and then things happen because of those warnings. And then a little bit of a different one, Jonah and Nineveh. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them. Of course, he has a very interesting story of how he eventually got to Nineveh. But when he comes to Nineveh, he warns Nineveh that they're going to be destroyed unless they don't turn around and follow God. And, well, they did. They turned around and followed God. And Jonah wasn't necessarily excited that that happened, but that's what they did. They changed based on the warning that was there. So these are some of our Old Testament warnings. And I kind of just put these together here because we can take a look at the warning that was given and the repercussions of either following the warning or not following the warning. So let's go forward to the New Testament where we have another set of warnings. Now, these warnings are given to us throughout all the chapters here, and we're just going to kind of take a look here at a few of them, and then also look at things that we can use in our lives to help us with these warnings. So, false prophets is a warning that's given. There's quite a few instances here in Matthew that we're going to take a look at this morning. So, in Matthew 7 and 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who came to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." So, we're warned about people coming and saying, hey, you know, this is what this says, or this is what happens. But they have different intents. They have malicious intents about how they're actually wolves on the inside. I always thought that was an interesting, thing there. Have you seen the cartoons where the wolf is dressed up like a sheep to get in closer with them? It's something, a trick a wolf would use. So, in Matthew 24:11, it says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." So we're warned about these false prophets rising up and, you know, blaspheming against the word and telling, different lies and things. And we see that actually throughout the Bible, even in Acts, we see these events starting to happen. In Matthew 24:24, it says, "For false Christs," and that's lowercase, false Christ, "and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So we see these things. Even people that have studied a lot may be deceived because you have the elect here. People that have really studied and worked on these things may also be deceived. So with using this idea of false prophets and being deceived, I was like, well, you know, what are some things that we think about in our lives today that we can be deceived from? So I think of investments. You know, that's something definitely misleading. There are good investments, but I think of the spam or the phishing emails that you might get that says, hey, you know, I need money released, you know, wire me $1,000 and I'll pay you double or whatever. You know, there's money laundering issues and stuff out there all the time out on the internet, so I think of the miracle diets too, that say, hey, you know, you could lose 50 pounds this week if you just do this. It's like, I don't think so. The free gift. I see those signs everywhere. That's like, hey, come in here and you get your free gift. And it's like, but why are you having me come in here for? You know, is this a sales pitch? Is this something going on? Online personality and appearance. You know, not everybody on the internet says who they are. I think of some of the dating websites too. Somebody might put a picture of what maybe they want to look like and not what they look like. And if you showed up, they're not exactly who they said they were. enticing foods that taste bad. I put this on here because I really like Oreos, and I was always thinking some of the knockoff Oreos don't taste the same. They look the same, but when you go to eat them, they don't taste the same. So, you know, that's definitely misleading and frustrating. Horsepower and gas mileage. All the time they're talking about gas mileage and horsepower, and if you actually go back through and read consumer reports on things, a lot of the stickers on cars are misleading. They're not necessarily at those horsepowers or at the gas mileage that they say they are. They're only in certain conditions. I think of the Tesla, the new electric car. I guess there's a New York Times article where they let him drive it around and it died on him. You know, like the battery ran out halfway in his trip and he had to have it towed. And then I have the Ford Edsel. And of course, there's a picture of it. Hey, you know, that was a great-looking car. I don't know if anybody was around when the Ford Edsel came out. They only produced 2,800 of them, and I think only one of them worked. It cost the company a lot of money. They spent millions. It was like 380-some million back in like the 60s and 70 time frame that this came out. The company thought that they were going to really build a backbone off of the Ford Edsel and that it was going to be the next big thing, but it ended up being one of the most misleading products Ford had ever produced. That's a nice looking car. You just have to push it around if you want to get it. Then also, in the New Testament, we talk about a few of the other warnings that were given, like covetousness. We're warned about covetousness here in a couple verses. We're going to look here in Luke 12 and 15. And it says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of things he possesses. So let's think of that, and let's apply that to the rich young ruler. This is in Matthew 19, 21 through 22. And Jesus said to him, for if you want to be perfect, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. This is after the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, I've done everything you said. You know, I was faithful and I did all these things. But Jesus knew that he had a lot. So this was kind of his test to see if he would, you know, give everything away and follow Jesus. And it says, but then the young man heard that saying, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. That was something very hard for him. You know, we're given this warning to take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of abundance of things he possesses. So we think of covetousness, and we think of the things that, you know, we could covet today, and you know, there's greed. I think there's a new show on TV that's called American Greed. And they go through all these different presidents of companies and how they've embezzled money and all these things. So with greed, you know, we think of money. You know, of course, you can be greedy over a lot of things, but money is one of the big ones. And apparently my pictures aren't working. Let's go through these real quick. Huh. Well, anyway, I had a picture of $1 million. It was of what $1 million would look like if you were just to set it on the table. I mean, that's a stack of money. I didn't realize, even in $100 bills, that's quite a large stack of money. And also cars. I had a picture of the most valuable car in the world. It was, I'm not exactly sure what the make or the model was, but hey, you know, that's something that could be coveted. And, you know, houses. I had a picture of a big mansion and everything of something that we could covet. And jobs and power. And I guess I'm kind of glad this didn't work. It was a picture of Obama. But it was a picture of a job or a power position that somebody would have. You know, you think of, I don't think I'd ever really want to be the president, but you think of that power. I think of all the people that try to run to be president, to have that position, to have that power. That's something that people could covet. And, you know, I just kind of have worldly possessions just to kind of tie everything up, you know, because we shouldn't be focused on these worldly possessions. Are they bad to have? No. Are they bad to covet? Yes. So, also to kind of go along with our New Testament warnings, we're warned about the return of Christ and about His returning or His coming again. So, let's take a look at these warnings about Christ's return. So, here in Luke 12 and 40, it says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So, we're warned that He is coming at an hour that we don't know. We don't know the time that He's coming back. Also in 2 Peter 3 and 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So we're warned about Him coming back, that we don't know the time that He is coming back. Now I'm going to hope that these pictures work on our next slide here, because we're going to talk about things that we don't expect, things that are completely unexpected to us. And to kind of go along with what we have here in our text, where it talks about He's coming like a thief in the night, I think of a thief. You know, if a thief called up and said, "Hey, I'll be at your house tonight at 5, you're going to be ready for it. You know, that's a thief is going to come at a time that you don't expect. You know, I was thinking that if they called us up and let us know, you know, you would definitely be ready. That's why we have home alarm systems. Hey, it worked. So we have these, you know, alarm systems in our house. So if anybody were to break in, because we're not expecting, you know, people to break in on us. Also something unexpected would be a fire. I mean, some fires can break out in seconds and just take over your home. Just complete wipe out things, a fire. Car accidents. This is the one that just happened the other day. This is that, like, 75 car pileup on I-70 that happened, I don't know, maybe last month. But that is something unexpected. They interviewed a lot of the people that were in the wreck, and they said that it went from, you know, being able to see and they were driving fine to, like, zero visibility in just a matter of seconds. And they said that all of this happened just so fast that it was completely unexpected. Also, weather conditions, to kind of talk about the snow and everything. One of the major things that happened was the tsunami that hit Japan. And, you know, these are very tall trees. And that's the top of that wave right there. You know, that just, that hit them hard, that tsunami. That was a very serious thing that hit, you know, that whole country over there. So that was completely unexpected. I mean, that hit and that, I mean, it wiped a lot of things out. That was way more than they could ever imagine. And also sickness. You know, something that can hit us pretty unexpected is sickness. And what I was reading about was, you know, how fast you can catch a cold. You know, even just being exposed to a cold, you can actually come to full symptoms of a cold in under 24 hours. And then I was reading about staph infection. You can actually get a staph infection in under like 3 minutes of being exposed to it. That's what's very scary about hospitals, because once somebody has that and it's spread, I mean, within seconds, that can spread. And just talk about something that's unexpected. You know, to be able to catch something that quick. It said that even food poisoning can set in within just maybe an hour. So things can happen to us. Those sicknesses can happen to us so unexpectedly that it can just take us. So those are the things that I think about that are happening to us unexpectedly, that we're talking about the warnings that when Christ will come and we don't know when it will happen. So to continue on with our New Testament warnings, we're warned very drastically here about denying God. And that's in Luke 12, 9 through 10. And it says, "But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." That's a serious warning. That's a very serious warning, that he who denies the man before me will be denied before his angels of God. So that's a very serious warning. I kind of just have this one out there by itself because it doesn't relate to a lot of some of the other warnings that we have. You know, especially blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. These are some serious warnings. And just like the warnings that were given in the Old Testament, how they were warned, then it was fulfilled. You know, these warnings will be fulfilled, you know, at the end of time. Or whenever we'll be at the judgment. So, to kind of go along with our warnings, I had another warning there, and apparently that slide does not work. Well, real quick, we'll talk about the Book of Life warnings that were given. And I'm kind of glad I printed everything out. Sometimes different versions of software doesn't work out very well. But here in the Book of Life, we talk about Revelations 3 and 5. And that kind of goes along with the warning that we had. So if you want to turn over real quick to Revelations, we'll look at Revelations 3 and 5. And that says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and will be not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So, of course, we have kind of Jesus speaking here in Revelations 3, and we're talking about the book of life, and about how we could be added to this book of life, but it also says that he will not blot it out. So we're also warned that we possibly could be blotted out from this book of life. And also look at Revelations 22 and 19. Where it says, "And if anyone takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and the holy city and from things which are written in this book." So we're warned not to take anything away from the words of this book of prophecy, or he'll remove us from the book of life. So that's scary when we're talking about adding to or taking away from, that he can add to and take away from this book of life, that we better be following our examples that we set up, that we ought to be following this warning that is set up. So to kind of go along with warnings, you know, we're warned here, you know, that we could be removed. But I want to talk about six warnings that happened on April 14th, 1912. I don't know if any of us were around in 1912, but we'll kind of go over six warnings that happened here. So at 9 a.m., there was a warning. At 1:42 p.m., there was a warning. At 1:45 p.m., there was a warning. At 7:30, there was a warning. At 9:40, there was a warning. And at 11 p.m., there was a warning. So I know you guys are probably thinking, well, what exactly are they being warned about? What's going on here? What are these times? Well, at 11:40, after six warnings, the RMS Titanic sunk an iceberg, that they hit an iceberg and it sank, killing 1,500 passengers and crew. They were warned six times that there was icebergs in the area, because there was three ships before the Titanic that warned back to the Titanic that there was icebergs in the area, and that could be very detrimental if they stayed on their present course. So they were warned six times, and I have a picture of the copy of the New York Times on April 15th about them reporting of the sinking of the Titanic. You know, and that's something that we can think about today. They were warned six times that something was going to happen, that there was icebergs out there that they could have clearly diverted. And I always think of that famous quote by the captain, that he said, "God himself cannot sink this ship." Sometimes I think about that quote sometimes whenever I think about the Titanic and it sinking. That was one of the famous quotes that he said before it actually was tugged out of the harbor there. So that's something interesting to think about. They were warned. They knew that there was icebergs in the area. But did they heed the warning? It's kind of like that picture of the sign with the cop. You know, hey, it says that there's a cop behind this sign. You know, are people going to slow down? So, to kind of talk about one of our last warnings, we're given a warning in Mark 16:16. It's a very strong warning against how we're living our lives and how we should live our lives. So, oh, hey, look, it added the book of life after that. In Mark 16:16, it says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So we have a very serious warning about our lives here. It says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So that's a very serious warning that we have. You know, how many times do we need to be warned on this topic or this subject, or of all the other warnings that we had, that we discussed today, where we talked about covetousness and about being blotted from the book of life. You know, I think the Titanic was warned 6 times, but they didn't do anything about it. You know, so today we have an opportunity to do something about our lives and the things that we're warned against, especially with that last verse that says, "Who believes and be baptized, and who does not believe will be condemned." That's definitely a very serious warning that we have against us today. So that's why we give this opportunity, why we stand and sing the song that Roger has selected for us, that we have the opportunity to be saved. So if you'd like to, you could come forward and be baptized. You can heed the warning.